RVFTA's Campground of the Week is sponsored by Jayco. To view their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And by Progressive Insurance. Get an RV policy quote by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
America the Beautiful. There is adventure to be found around every corner.
And there is no better way to explore it than by staying at one of our country's 14,000 campgrounds.
Our team of correspondents will guide you to the best places to park your rig or pitch your tent.
On each week's episode, we'll give a complete review of one campground, location, activities, amenities, best sites, and tons of other insider intel.
Plus, we'll talk about regional highlights, food, culture, attractions, family fun, and all things great outdoors.
From the East Coast to the West Coast, and from the Great Lakes to the Mississippi Delta, it's time to hit the open road with RVFTA's Campground of the Week. Our Northeast correspondents are Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi from RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com. They are the co-hosts of the RV Family Travel Atlas and Campground of the Week podcasts, and they are the creators of the RVFTA podcast network, and they are the authors of The Idiot's Guide to RV Vacations. Welcome to the show, Stephanie.
Why, thank you, Jeremy. It's good to be back. I guess.
It's very good to be back. I like doing Campground of the Week.
We're here every
week. Can't let our correspondents steal the show.
But it's nice to do campground reviews every once in a while. So last time on episode number 16, we reviewed Yogi Bear's Jellystone Park in Luray, Virginia. Where are we going to this week?
We are going to the Brattleboro North KOA in East Dummerston, Vermont. And I am really excited to take our listeners to Vermont for the first time on Campground of the Week. This is our first campground review in Vermont for this podcast.
Beautiful state, and we love, love, love visiting there every single summer.
Terrific camping state.
All right, but before we tell our listeners all about Brattleboro North KOA, we want to thank Progressive Insurance, which is a sponsor of Campground of the Week. When you are out on the road traveling and your RV breaks down, Progressive's roadside assistance will help you get your RV started or provide towing to the nearest qualified repair facility. You can learn more by calling 1-800-PROGRESSIVE or visiting progressive.com/RV.
Love those Progressive people.
Yeah, they'll tow you somewhere.
I could
towing's important.
Let's face it. I could talk insurance with those people all day.
All right. So the Brattleboro North KOA. Vermont is an interestingly shaped state because it's sort of like fat at the bottom, and then it's really tall and skinny at the top, right? So where
it's like New Hampshire and Vermont were one state, and somebody just like took an axe and cut it in half.
Them. All right. So where is Brattleboro in Vermont?
It's 25 miles north of the Massachusetts-Vermont state line, right off of Route 91. All right. So it's not that far into Vermont, really. Route 91 heads due north from Connecticut up through Vermont and New Hampshire. So it's a popular route for many people traveling into New England. So like a lot of people that are heading up into Maine take this way and go this way. You can easily cut over into Maine. So it's a great halfway stop on a longer trip. And this campground is used a lot by people overnighting, even though we think there's a whole lot more to this campground. It's about 2 hours east of Albany, New York. It's a straight shot east from Niagara Falls. So if you're planning a huge trip across New York, which is another great state for camping, and up into New England, this could be a great stopping point for a good night's rest. We also think it's a great place for a full week's vacation. We really do.
Right, which brings us to the next, you know, point about this campground is it's designated as a KOA Journey, right? What does that mean?
So KOA has three designations. They have Journey, Holiday, and Resort. Now, out of their almost 500 campgrounds, there are only a handful of resorts, and a resort is what you think it is. It's got all the luxuries, all the amenities. Holiday is your more you know, what you'd expect out of a KOA. It's a great base camp for adventure, for exploring a local area. And Journey, they're billing more as a great place for a night's rest on your way somewhere else. Now, Steffi and I really like this designation system with the Journey, Holiday, and Resort, but we think that the Brattleboro North KOA, that the Journey name is a little deceiving because, honestly, we stay here for 5 nights. When we go to this KOA, we're not overnighting. We are staying for a vacation because we love it and we love the area.
Yeah, we think that staying overnight here and moving on would really be missing the opportunity to explore a beautiful destination and location. But at the same time, some feedback that we've heard from the owners themselves leads us to believe that they chose this Journey designation because they are so limited by their size. It is a very small campground. And, you know, they might be challenged to put in some of the features of a Holiday. Obviously, they're not going to be a resort. So, you know, they just said, you know what? We're a Journey. A lot of people use this as a stopover. That's fine.
And KOA obviously has lots of statistics on, you know, people and how long they're staying. So most of their business, I believe, it is people overnighting on their way into Maine. But again, you're missing out on just a terrific area. And when I say a terrific area, it's all right around the campground. You don't have to go very far away from this campground to find yourself having some great summertime New England adventures or some beautiful fall foliage for that matter.
So this is, hey, give it 3 nights, okay, people? Like, stay there for 3 nights at least. We love 5. Now, tell us a little more. I just referenced the size of the campground, and I did say that it was small. Tell us a little more about the size of the campground.
They have 20 full hookup sites and about 15 water electric sites. So this, we're not lying, it's a small campground. They also do have some cottages, some cabins, a log cabin, and a restored vintage Shasta. They also offer buddy sites. So it is a tiny campground, but I liked that about it. It was very cozy, very social, very homey.
All right. So what does a small campground mean in terms of booking?
So when we were there, it filled up on the weekends in the summer. No doubt this campground sells out on the weekends. It's a bit quieter during the week, but because it's so small, if you want to go, I would really plan on booking in advance. And the summer is so short in New England anyway. You know, obviously they're open in the spring and they're open in the fall, but their season is relatively short. Make reservations for this campground. Don't assume you're going to hop in and get a site.
And what are we looking at price-wise?
Price-wise, okay, tents if you want a tent camp.
And they, hey, I watched
people
a woman.
People tent camping.
I watched a woman do morning yoga outside her tent one morning there. So people tent camp there.
People do tent camp there.
She looked very relaxed.
It's Vermont. $29 to $35. Water and electric, $36 to $42. Full hookup, $44 to $54. Of course, if you're KOA Value Card Rewards members, which we are, you get 10% off. And military with ID get 10% off. And also just wanted to mention, this is definitely one of those award-winning KOAs. For 9 straight years, it's won the President's Award and the more prestigious Founders Award. So it is in the kind of the top crust of the KOA system, and it has been year after year after year. And now it's RVFTA's Campground of the Week, which purely, you know, clearly eclipses all of those little
balloons
KOA
are
awards.
Falling from the ceiling right now.
Yeah.
Confetti, people. All right. You know, and I do want to say right there, we'll mention it, I'm sure, later on, but I would say that the presence of the owners on site and the engagement of the owners on site probably have a lot to do with that award-winning track record.
This is a family-owned and operated campground. And we know sometimes people have the misconception that KOAs are corporate. Out of the 500 or so KOAs, there's only about 30 that are corporate-owned. There's about 470 that are family-owned and small businesses. And the owners their son... Okay. And Ernie is one of them.
Yeah.
Remember Ernie very clearly. They are there every day working this campground. And they are, if you need something, they are right there all the time, every day.
Yeah. Really engaged campground.
They're very engaged and they're local to the area. They know the area inside out and they will help you find whatever you're looking for in the Brattleboro area of Vermont. And they love the area.
Yeah. So, all right. So this is a small campground. All right. It's in a great area. What is at the campground itself in terms of amenities?
I think they pack in a lot for such a small campground. There is a fairly large pool at this campground, okay? And in New England, you know, because the summer is so short, and frankly, because even in the summer it can be cool at night, a lot of campgrounds just choose not to have pools. And then a lot of even really nice campgrounds have small pools. They have a nice size pool. They have a really nice size playground with sand, which, you know, the boys would drag
may not be popular with parents.
It was a really nice campground, and the boys played there every single night before and after dinner.
It's a little bit more of an imaginative play campground because, like, they have a play structure there, but with the sand, they also have, like, pots and pans and diggers and shovels and everything. So kids kind of, like, go and hang out and do a lot of play.
And it was the pirate ship campground, wasn't it? Which tends to be a favorite with our boys who are pirates.
Yeah. So they got really messy when they went to the campground, so we weren't thrilled with that. But then at the same time, they really had fun at the campground. So that was a bonus.
And the playground is somewhat in the middle of the campground, generally speaking, or in the middle of the property. And it's like a horseshoe shape. And so the sites are kind of a loop around the campground in a horseshoe. So it's the playground is central, is what I'm trying to say. I know they also have a half basketball court. They have a field area to play in. They have a really awesome game room. And when I say it's an awesome game room, it's not that there was so many games in there, but there was ping pong in there. The reason I loved this game room, it was really big and spacious and really like a rainy day room to me, because we had one totally rained out day when we stayed there. The boys went in and they watched Finding Nemo. There were people in there sharing meals together. It was like a social gathering place. In fact, the game room used to be, I think, their camp store. It used to be the front entrance in the camp store. They built a new one, and this is just used as the game room. I love a campground that has a full-on room with couches and chairs and a TV and ping pong for that rainy day.
All right, what about the snack bar?
They have a new snack bar in a restored vintage trailer, and they call it Vintage Victuals. Now, when we were there the last time, Ernie had just bought that vintage trailer. Like, he literally just towed it onto the campground.
We were there.
And he showed it to us. He's like, and I'm telling you, it didn't look good at the time. And Ernie's like, yeah, I'm going to restore it and I'm going to make a snack bar. We were kind of like scratching our heads. And now if you look online, there's beautiful pictures of it and the food's supposed to be very good.
They put in a commercial kitchen. They redid the whole thing and they're serving snack food out of it. So
and there's a well-stocked camp store on top of that. So this is a really nice camp store. It also has some local stuff you can buy in terms of t-shirts, in terms of local crafts. It's a very cute camp store.
Yeah, everybody except for me, I think, wound up with a t-shirt from that camp store because they do tie-dye.
They have the
cute little tie-dye t-shirt.
There's a little bit of like a hippie vibe there at the Brattleboro
KOA. It's Brattleboro. There's a lot of the hippie vibe.
Yeah, and it's mm-hmm. in this very charming way. There's free cable and Wi-Fi if you're into that kind of thing. When we were there, the Wi-Fi was not very strong, but we did not go up to the camp store to try and get a stronger signal necessarily.
No, and, you know, so I don't really want to say, oh, you couldn't be in one part of the campground or another and get a better signal, but this is this area in general. I want to stress that. If Wi-Fi is really important to you, plan ahead, because this area – anytime you travel into New England, into the mountains, I feel like we've really struggled with
things
signal.
Get dicey.
Yeah. So, you know, plan ahead on that.
Now, they also have Sway the Pony, okay, who's on the property. You can go over and feed Sway some carrots. You can buy some really cheap carrots at the camp store and go feed Sway and hang out with Sway. The boys loved hanging with Sway. And they have three goats.
Okay,
and they'll like walk the goats around.
Yeah, they do. They take the goats on a walk. Kids are encouraged to, you know, pet the goats, interact with the goats. Like, it is a very farm, you know, like sort of feel to it. Like, these are the owner's farm pets. Kind of. And, you know, they're just allowing you to sort of nicely interact with them.
It's a nice after dinner thing. Like, you take a little walk, you buy a bag of carrots, you bring the kids up there, you feed Sway. It's just kind of a nice relaxing end of the day kind of thing.
Yeah, the boys really loved it. And in the morning, when the owners are over, like, feeding the animals and everything, they're like real diet. Kids can go in and sort of have the supervised interaction time with the different animals. So that's nice too. It just adds a little extra something.
We're going to cheat a little. And we're going to call Walker Farm, which is right next door, an amenity for the campground.
It might as well be.
It is literally, it feels like it's on the property. You literally walk from the camp store across the parking lot, like 20 feet, 30 feet.
It is right there.
And there's Walker Farm, which is awesome. So it's almost like it's part of the campground. They have incredible organic fruits and vegetables from their own fields, as well as delicious meats and cheeses. This is a world-class place to grab some Vermont goodies, and it's right there. You do not have to drive to get there. It's a short walk from your site.
Well, that's – I really wanted to make sure we talked about this because I knew that this organic farm was right next door. But what happened is I always prep for our long trips. I do big grocery shopping. I do big meal planning. So what happened was we showed up the last time we were there, and we've been in Brattleboro twice, but the last time I showed up like with a full stocked fridge and a full stocked pantry, and then I didn't want to cook any of my like prepped meals.
You wanted to go to Walker Farm like every night.
Because that's the kind of place it is. And if you're a foodie, I want you to understand that you should really go to Brattleboro and not have a meal plan. You should really plan on bringing home the fresh ingredients from your day and create a meal, because that's what we did almost every night.
You wrote a blog post when we were there called Eating Our Way Through Brattleboro, Vermont, because it did unintentionally, it became sort of a foodie vacation for you.
Oh, I loved it. So we'll talk more, you know, more about the details of that in the activities part of this review. But Walker Farm is right there, and you can, and this is my favorite thing to do, you could walk up there and you could buy some fresh produce and some local meats like grass-fed beef or some, you know, local sausages or chickens. And you could just go back to your campsite and make your entire meal with ingredients from this place. And you can't, it doesn't get any better than that.
And that's what RVing or camping in Vermont is all about to some degree. I mean, it's such a rich part of the experience up there in Vermont. There's also a dog park, and we didn't have Maggie when we were there last time, but when we go back, we will walk Maggie at the dog park. I think all KOAs are required to have dog parks now, from what I understand. So if you go to KOA, you're getting a dog park. Now, how about
Camp Canine?
Camp Canine. And the boys love calling it Camp Canine.
And
of course, even if we're not at KOA, we call it Camp Canine. So what about activities, Stephanie? I mean, it's a small campground, but they do offer organized activities, and we had a lot of fun doing them.
Yeah, again, this is just part of that like hands-on nature of these owners, is they were running the activities throughout the day, mostly on the weekends. But, you know, they did the hay rides in the summer every day. They do tie-dye.
And they go all out on the tie-dye. The tie-dye there was among the best, and they really know how to make a tie-dye there.
Right. They were trying to, like, help the kids make the pattern that they wanted to make and everything. And then they also do guided crafts. Like, they kind of feel like they're running a little bit of, like, a small country summer camp, you know, with the kids, the way they do it. Like, they had the big blow-up water slide when we first showed up one time, and the kids were all doing like water war activities and launching the water balloons. And then Saturday night, they have ice cream socials. So, you know, they're just running some nice, engaging activities.
I want to stop there and give you an idea of how lovely the owners are. When we were staying there, there were a group of gentlemen, and they called themselves, I believe, Six Over 60. And they were bicycling from California to the New Hampshire coast, raising money for some particular cause. And they were camping right next to us because they had like a support team with them and an RV. And they would bicycle and then meet up with the RV. And the owners turned the ice cream social one night into a fundraiser for these gentlemen, for Six Over 60 and whatever it was, that great
Wounded
cause.
Warrior.
Wounded Warriors. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
It was
I'm so
for
glad
the Wounded
you said
Warriors,
that.
Yeah.
And so they turned their ice cream social into a fundraiser. They passed the hat for these guys. And it was just like a really nice, spontaneous, heartfelt kind of thing. And that's just what they're like there at the Brattleboro North KOA.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, so this is a really small, quaint, cozy, engaged kind of a campground. You're going to have sort of a very personal experience here. But let's zoom in on the sites a little bit, okay? When you look at a campground map of this campground, you're going to see, as you mentioned before, like a series of concentric horseshoe, rows moving away from the playground, okay? So if you're a parent, you may want to beware.
right by the playground, but those are not the biggest sites. We found that the site, as you move in each horseshoe away from the playground, the sites get bigger to the point where, like, the outer rim,
those
were the best sites to us.
Right. So if you're and we put the campground map in the show notes to this episode because we think that the campground map is so crucial to booking a good site at this campground, okay? So you may look at that inner horseshoe and say, you know, that's the, let me see, what is that? That's the A loop, okay? You may look at that and say, oh, that's awesome. My kids can play at the campground. But those are going to be smaller, sort of more like pie sliced campsites.
Yeah, there's a couple small sites.
Because it's a smaller horseshoe. The horseshoe gets bigger as it goes out and the campsite seems to
get bigger. And it's a social campground. But if you're sensitive to not wanting too small of a site and not having somebody's hookups right there, then you're going to want to really ask about that.
Yeah. So we stayed on the B loop. And it had buddy sites. So ask if you want a buddy site because we did stay on the buddy site. I think they only have one.
And we had our campers facing each other and with a nice common area.
And
in
you
the middle.
Can see that the picture for this episode is that buddy site with everybody in the middle. Okay, of that site. So if you want something like that, look at that. The D loop on the back is going to offer you like more of like you're going to see like the farm field. You know,
right,
behind the property. And it's going to feel a little more private and spacious. So,
okay, so what are the insider details for this campground? If you're going to go here, what do you need to know to get the most out of your stay?
Okay, I think it's all about the site that you reserve. So I would really avoid B33 to B31. That is that entrance road. You know, as everybody comes in on that road and there's some sites that are right there when everybody's entering in. And I always try to avoid those roads that are like
where
through
if you get
roads.
On one of the outer horseshoes, you're not going to have traffic
right,
at all.
Right. Like barely anyone's coming there.
Now, the other insider detail, and this is important. Anything you want to do in this area, speak to the owners about. I went and asked where a good place was to find a swimming hole. And she printed up a list of the best swimming holes for me. I think they even had it just stacked.
No, they
there.
Have them. Yeah, they
she'll
have
just hand it to you. And not
hikes,
only will they, not only will they hand you a list of like best hikes or best swimming holes, they will sit there and circle the one that's best for your family, and they'll give you directions on a map. They know the area intimately, and they will guide you to some really amazing places if you let them. So it's almost like they're your own personal concierge when you're there. And once we realized that, like when we wanted to go for a hike, I went and said, where should we go for a hike? And they led us to an amazing hike. They got us that amazing swimming hole. So they're really, really good at knowing the area.
Yeah, and we really encourage our listeners to use those local resources. Don't just be TripAdvisor travelers. That's a great place to start when you're planning your trip. But then listen to those locals and where they direct you because they know things that aren't on TripAdvisor.
And she looked at our kids and said, well, this is the swimming hole you want to go to because this one here might be a little bit too difficult to get to or this one might be too deep. And she just guided us to the perfect place for our afternoon swimming hole dip in Vermont. Gosh, love a good swimming hole.
All right, you're getting ahead of yourself. All right. Really pay attention to the site you reserve. Take advantage of the owner's local expertise. And then also, like I said before, do not stock up on produce before you go because you need to use the fresh produce that's at your fingertips at Walker Farms. It's amazing.
And if you're a foodie and you're one of our podcast listeners and you're just into really organic foods and fresh foods, you could make a vacation out of that.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that in the area attractions section. All right, nobody's perfect.
Okay.
What do you got?
You know, they have a really nice sized pool. It's not heated. And I know it's not cheap to make the pool heated and to add that, but we love to swim in the summer. And the pool was cool enough that the boys didn't want to go in it. And we were there in early August. And I know that's hard in New England because it gets chilly at night, but I would still like to see a heated pool.
Right. I'm thinking of some other places in New England that put that solar cover over it, something like that. Something to make the pool warmer because we know it's a struggle to keep a pool warm in New England, but it's also so nice if the campground has a pool for your kids to go in it when you go back to the campground.
It's a very nice pool area. So that's it. You know, otherwise it's like a little diamond of a campground there in the Brattleboro North KOA.
All right. We will be back in a minute after a word from Jayco, and we are going to learn all about the area attractions and activities and food that are
so many of them.
Yeah, I know. We have to keep ourselves in check here that you're going to want to experience when you visit the Brattleboro North KOA. Stay tuned.
Fun and family. It's what Jayco has been focused on for generations. From the first camping trailer that rolled off the production line on founder Lloyd Bontrager's farm in 1968 to today, when Jayco, now the world's largest privately owned RV manufacturer, is building everything from camping trailers up to gas Class A motorhomes.
With a blend of old-world Amish craftsmanship and innovative technology, Jayco builds more value into their RVs than any other manufacturer in the industry, with more standard features and the best 2-year warranty offered. Visit Jayco's website at jayco.com or your closest Jayco dealer for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just gave you a great review of the Brattleboro North KOA in southern Vermont. Now it's time to talk regional highlights, and there are so many of them. I'm looking at this list, and I'm like, this area is amazing. This area rocks.
We love it here, and it's going to be hard for us to squeeze in everything we want to squeeze in, but we're going to try to do it, so let's go. First of all, people need to know, if you want that sort of quintessential Vermont experience, right? All granola and outdoorsy, this is a great place to go without having to go like too far off up into the northern wilds of Vermont.
And just don't go to Vermont if you're cranky. Or yeah. Go and just hope that you won't be cranky anymore. Everyone in Vermont's just like relaxed and happy
back.
And peaceful.
Yeah.
Okay. So downtown.
I call Vermont my sexy lumberjack. I'm sorry, I do. I'm like, you're all
You know, I love Vermont too. And here's the crazy thing about Vermont for me. We love the ocean. So we love coastal Maine. But, Vermont, I love equally. And there's no ocean. And I still love it equally because it's the people, I think.
Yeah. We love it. We go there every year. We end up cycling in there.
Downtown Brattleboro is, I would say, it's a 10-minute drive. It's pretty close to the campground. You can get in easily. You can park pretty easily. It's a city that's had quite a renaissance in the food and the arts. And one of the first places I go when I go to downtown Brattleboro, Mocha Joe's, a great coffee shop, fresh roasted coffee, really cool, hip little shop in town. So start your morning out in Brattleboro at Mocha Joe's.
Donuts, I think homemade donuts.
Oh, the donuts.
Oh, boy, I just... So, and bring back beans to your camper, and then you've got beans.
Bring some beans back to the camper. Bring some donuts back to the camper.
Oh, bring cash, right?
Oh, yeah. They didn't take credit cards. They are cash only.
And they're hip.
No. It's not that they're cash only. You have to, it has to be like
a certain amount.
A certain amount. Okay. And I can't remember.
You didn't have it. And whatever.
And then they act like, upset, but then they'll take your credit card, but it's like a downer.
Yeah, you're a real downer. No, Mocha Joe's, very hip people, so be hip when you walk in. We love Mocha Joe's.
It's definitely one of those hipster coffee joints, and some people I know, that's a big turnoff for them. So just ignore it and go get your great cup of coffee and your great donut.
All right. To me, this reminded me, this kind of city reminded me of sort of an Asheville kind of a city with the types of shops it has in it, right? Lots of local art galleries.
A little weird and quirky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I really liked they had Vermont Artisans, they had Gallery in the Woods. So places that had some unique local art. So if you're one of those people that likes to bring that stuff home as your souvenir, downtown Brattleboro is a great place to look.
If you like record shops and bookstores, they have them.
They do, right? Backroom Audio is the vinyl store.
And Brattleboro Books.
And Brattleboro Books is the bookstore.
But then also side by side with that culture is like Sam's Outdoor Outfitters, which is huge. I mean, it seems to like take up a whole city block. And if you just want to go buy North Face stuff or Patagonia or go get a new Camelback, this is a great outdoor center. So you have that hipster culture, that fine art culture, the good food, but also Vermont's all about getting outside.
Yeah, and then also Vermont's all about having beer flights, right? So they also have a local brewery. So if you want to go to the Hermit Thrush Brewery, you can do a really nice beer flight there. That's just an idea of what this downtown looks like. And then we had a pouring rain out day where it wasn't even like put on the raincoats and go outside. And we ended up at the Latches Theater. That is an old historic theater. Beautiful. In the downtown. It was gorgeous. And we actually saw a movie there with the kids.
Smurfs, too.
We did.
I skipped it and walked around town and drank coffee.
You know what? You had the baby. Wes was like
a few months old. I didn't take Wes in.
So he was napping at the time. He couldn't see a movie. You shopped with Wes.
I brought him. I was in Sam's Outdoor Outfitters with Wes and in Mocha Joe's.
Yeah.
And Wes was up the whole time.
And a beautiful theater. And we saw Smurfs, too, because that's keeping it real.
This is one of those locations in general that it's perfect for families with kids. There's plenty to do for families with kids. This would also be a great place for a more romantic trip where it was really just about those beer flights and the fine dining and the organic food and the
anytime,
art and culture.
Anytime.
I know, I'm ready.
No, this is a nice place for a getaway, right?
If I said, Stephanie, let's do a couple's getaway to Brattleboro for the weekend, it would be like game on. You'd be ready to go.
Oh, absolutely, because it would be all about the cheese, like, and the
wine. You can get there. If you're in New York City, you know, or you can get there in 5 hours from
really,
a lot of different places.
It's accessible. All right. So now we are not there on a couple's romantic getaway. So we like Retreat Farm, right? That's a really beautiful place, only about 10-minute drive outside of downtown, and actually it cleared up.
I don't even think it's that far out of downtown. It's very close.
You're right, it is. It's only a couple
it's
miles
like
up the road.
Yeah,
it's really close. But this is an educational working farm with a conservation edge to it. Okay, that's its, you know, goal is to teach kids like how to sort of work the land and conserve the land and farm responsibly. So what they have is you can go in. It's so reasonable at $5 a child, 2 and up. Love that price point, right, for a family. Adults aren't paying. You can feed. You can groom the animals. You can visit with the oxen, the llamas. Like, it is a real working farm, and they just really allow kids to interact with the animals. Now, also on the property, there are over 9 miles of trails, right? And we did one of these trails. Do you remember which one we did?
We did the Cedar Street Trail, which is in our notes. And it starts at the Harris Hill Ski Jump, which is really cool. You see this old-fashioned ski jump that's been there
forever. But it's still used, yeah.
Still used. And you can walk up along the side of it, and the kids got a hoot out of that.
Because it's steep. That was the first ski jump, I think, that they had ever seen that close up.
And then this is one of those hikes where it's pretty close to the road, but then you just walk in and in like 3 minutes, you feel like you're in a magical forest miles away from civilization.
Yeah. So there's also behind the retreat farm, there's the Woodlands Interpretive Trail, and that's a 1 mile loop with placards. And you can also get an audio tour MP3 on their website. So you can like listen to it on your smartphone or you could download it beforehand. Now, we really like interpretive trails. That means for those of you that may never have done it, there's just information throughout the trail that helps you engage with that surrounding. It gives you information about it. So we've done like interpretive trails down in the Great Smokies with the kids or in Shenandoah National Park, right? Like interpretive trails can really be engaging for kids.
What can be really engaging for adults is incredible cheese.
Oh, my gosh.
Right next door to your hike at the Grafton Village Cheese Place. Is it the Grafton Village Cheese Factory?
It's just called Grafton Village Cheese.
They don't have to say factory or place. This cheese.
I want to say something. I think I almost cried when I finally ran out of all of my like little products that I had bought at this store.
You fell in love.
This is such a good place. So in this cheese shop, which is right next door to Retreat Farm, literally right next door, you can walk from one, you don't even have to move your car, you can walk from one to the other. There is actually a viewing platform where you can see cheddar being made in their factory during the hours that they're producing it. So the kids will get a hoot out of that. But they sample so much of their cheese there. You can just kind of like, it's one of those great places you can walk around sampling everything.
And the thing is, you're going to buy something. The samples work.
More than something, like something's.
We were putting cheese on the cheeseburgers you were grilling back at the campground.
That's what I wanted to say is that they have all of those spreads that they make and all of the different things that they put, all these mixtures and everything. So what happened was we ended up that night and I had burgers on the menu that night, and it was so awesome because we just came home with this big pile of like cheeses, but then also like radishes and relishes, And I made, like, everybody a burger to order. Like, what kind of spread they wanted. What kind of, like, jalapeno jam on top of a blue cheese spread. Like,
that's
we did,
the thing that when we ran out, you were, like, upset.
Oh, my God. The jalapeno jam. I just want it so bad.
Vermont, it's like you can eat cheese like crazy and gain weight, but you won't gain weight because you're going to be hiking all the time.
Hopefully,
too.
Yeah. So where are you going to hike?
Well, you got more food to talk about here.
Oh, all right.
We can't get to the hiking.
We can't get
yet.
To the hiking yet. All right.
In the other direction from the campground, just a few miles away from the campground, is Harlow's Sugar House. And we did berry picking there. And we had a great time berry picking on like a light rainy day one time. And we went back another time on another trip. We've stayed here twice.
Yeah.
And both times we really loved Harlow's Sugar House for berry picking.
Yeah. One time we were there during blueberry season and another time we were there during strawberry season. So it just depends on when you hit it, what you're going to get. And wonderful fields, lots of good picking. They also have the maple syrup samples you can taste in the shop, which of course the boys were big fans of. You know, you don't want to leave Vermont without doing a little like syrup tasting, berry picking stuff.
It's a fun morning or afternoon at such an affordable price because it's food and an activity combined together.
Yeah. And then also there's a lot of nearby farms that have grass-fed beef, local meats. You have to see when you're there because different things are, you know, available at different times. So ask the owners, like, if you want to go to a local farm and buy. There's a lot of different options for that, okay? So,
and you recommend Walpole Valley Farms. They're famous for their organic grass-fed beef.
Yeah, so, but while we were there, you had to go, like, Monday morning.
We could never hit them at the. I think one time we actually
like, that's
got there
I
and
say,
bought something.
Just, you know, pay attention to it.
Call ahead. Don't expect something like that to be open.
Yeah.
I mean, they're working.
They're
it's
working
just
their
that,
farm.
You know, they don't have the. You know, they have limited hours where they're selling.
Exactly. All right. So now that we've eaten all that food,
you got to hike up Putney Mountain.
Right.
And that's, again, it's not that far from the campground. I mean, it's like a 10 to 15 minute drive to the trailhead. Putney Mountain is a great hike for kids. It was not that long, but then this incredible, rewarding, beautiful view at the top. And can we put one of my photos of the top of that hike in the show notes just to show everybody
you
how
like
gorgeous?
The kids sitting there
the kids
with the
just
view.
Sitting there looking out at the mountains. And then again, there was a trail association that provides scavenger hunt printouts for the kids, which really took this over the top as a great family hike.
Yeah, this was one of the first hiking scavenger hunts that we did with the boys, and they loved it. They were great about it. And the Putney Mountain Association actually provided not only the scavenger hunt, but those little pencils, like those little mini golf pencils at the trailhead. How cool was
and
that?
And they were giving out badges at the top of
and
the mountain.
Then,
there was a volunteer up there giving out little badges to the
kids. We were
there
for some sort of day. It must have been a special day. We got to the top. We had no idea what was going to happen. We got to the top and there was a lady giving badges.
Every day is a special day in Vermont.
In Putney Mountain, at least.
And they also do organized night hikes there, which when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, that would be amazing. To do a night hike up to the top of the mountain. You bring flashlights, you go in a group, you go to the top of the mountain, and you see the stars and the moon. How lovely would that be?
The link to the Putney Mountain Association is in the show notes. So if you want to go and you click through, look at the events before you go.
Okay. Now, the owners will give you a whole list of great swimming holes in Vermont. And if you go RVing up in New England, you got to find an awesome swimming hole and just kind of go for that kind of traditional swimming hole swim.
It's part of the culture.
It is part of the culture. And she told us to go to the West Dummerston Covered Bridge, which is gorgeous because it's a covered bridge in Vermont. And she said the swimming there would be perfect because the water flows very quietly beneath the bridge. And it's crystal clear. And what's awesome about it is you can kind of wade out there and let the current take you. And it's not so strong. I mean, unless there's been a high rain or something. It's not so strong that you really have to worry about the kids. But you can kind of go out there and float along the river underneath the bridge.
It is. It's a float.
It's a family float.
Because then you can just hop off whenever you want onto that little sand bank on the side and walk right back up to the top.
And obviously be careful with little kids, but this was a pretty family-friendly spot.
Yeah, our boys were still in their little puddle jumpers at that point. They weren't like strong swimmers, and they did fine in their puddle jumpers.
And you can bring the dog to go swimming there, too.
Yep, and we've got a picture of Sue Dog swimming at
Dummerstone. Yeah, our camping buddies, Sue Dog, had a great time swimming
she
under that bridge. And it's
that.
Picturesque. It's a gorgeous place to whip out the camera, take some photos, have a picnic on the banks of the river there. There's a little area you could sit and eat. You could make a half day out of this.
All right, now, food. I mean, we've already covered food. Like, we've covered food in the way that you go and you buy things to make at the campground. But then there's a whole nother area of food.
We love Jane and Michael Stern's road food. It is like our Bible for food on the road. We have two copies. We have at least two copies. We keep a copy in the RV. And there are two picks from this area in Jane and Michael Stern's road food. One is Curtis Barbecue and one is Putney Diner. Let's do Putney Diner and then save Curtis for last, because and we'll go out with Curtis Diner because it's such a wild, crazy place. Putney Diner had delicious sandwiches, unique, handcrafted sandwiches.
Yeah, the sandwiches were good. I really felt like the pie. It's like I felt like it's more of a pie kind of a diner place. Like the sandwiches, very homey, home cooked. Like your Reuben. Like this is like your kind of Reuben
joint.
Also
turkey and cranberry and local ingredients.
Right. So the turkey is gonna be like roasted and sliced, not like cold cut turkey, right? So it's going to be a notch above. The boys got tuna salad here. You know, I feel like it's a very down-homey kind of a road food joint, not the kind of road food joint that knocks your socks off. It's the kind of road food joint that makes you feel like I came home and I had like mac and cheese, you know? Like that's
and
how
you could
I feel
hit
about it.
After that hike up Putney Mountain on your way back to the campground.
Yeah.
Now, Curtis Barbecue is really unique and a legendary place. It is the ultimate roadside joint. It's a school bus.
If you
or two
this
school
is
buses.
What I want to say about Curtis's Barbecue. If you are the kind of person that takes sort of health code violations very seriously, don't go to Curtis's.
Curtis could not operate in New Jersey.
Like,
I mean
they're
operating out of a school bus.
And he's like running his barbecue pit next to the school bus, and there's dogs lying in there.
And when she says dogs, notice the S.
Dogs.
Plural.
There's
like five dogs hanging out
dogs.
Next to the food.
They're on the ground.
Yeah, in New Jersey, it wouldn't work in Jersey. In Vermont,
he's slinging meat.
In Vermont, like the mayor's eating there. I mean, and delicious barbecue. Delicious
there's
barbecue.
Like, there's like junk heap of kids' toys over to the side.
And there's like a barn. So if it's raining, you can eat under.
You can.
Not
there's
a barn.
A covered,
what would you call it?
It's a covered pavilion.
You can eat under there on a rainy day.
Yeah.
Or you're just eating outside otherwise.
Right. Yeah.
But it's very colorful the way they painted the school bus up. Again, we got to put a picture in the show notes of Curtis to give everyone the flavor. It's a must stop for me. I particularly love their ribs.
Yeah. You know, it is to me a local treasure. Like it's an experience. You have to go there. The ribs are great.
If you go to
the
Brattleboro and you
the
stay at the Brattleboro
great.
North KOA and you don't eat at Curtis, I'm sorry. I'm very disappointed in you. Yeah, you know, like you just did not do the trip right. It was poor planning on your part.
Such a hoot. It really is.
Some people, though, do walk up there and go,
not
so sure
about
this.
It's funny. You got to go just to see if you can actually get through the food ordering process and get to the table. Because you might go like, I'm out of here. I don't know. We love it. And we were just talking to friends that we went there with the last time we were there. We brought them for the second time when we went. And I was talking to her the other day and she said, oh, Curtis's. And I said, I know, Curtis's. We got to get back there.
It's a classic.
Yeah, it's something you'll remember always. All right.
So that's our review of the Brattleboro North KOA and all the activities in the region. Now, Stephanie, are you ready for one of our 50 progressive adventures?
I am, and it's a Vermont one, right?
I know. And now Progressive Insurance presents 50 progressive adventures, unique attractions that need to be seen but are off the beaten path. Next time you are camping in the Green Mountain State, be sure to check out Mount Mansfield, the highest mountain in Vermont at just over 1,300 meters above sea level. To get the most out of your experience, hike along the Long Trail, the oldest hiking trail in the U.S. that runs the length of the state. Adventure awaits with Progressive. And also, thank you to Jayco for sponsoring Campground of the Week. To see their complete line of RVs, visit jayco.com. And now, Stephanie, where can our listeners find us on social media?
Our listeners know. They can find us at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and they can find us at RV Family Travel Atlas on Facebook and Instagram. And
we do that whole Instagram thing.
RVFTA on Twitter. You know,
Pinterest. Holla.
All right.
Maybe one day we'll get on Periscope.
All right. We'll talk to you later, and we will see you at the campground.
And a big serious thank you to Jayco and Progressive for sponsoring great RV content for all of you RV FTA listeners out there.
All right. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
See you at the campground.
Thank you so much for tuning in to RVFTA's Campground of the Week.
Links to the campground and regional attractions can be found in the show notes at campgroundoftheweek.com.
And don't forget to check out the other podcasts in our network.
RV Family Travel Atlas is hosted by yours truly, Jeremy and Stephanie Puglisi, and available every Friday morning.
And Girl Camper, Going Places, Doing Things, is hosted by Janine Pettit and released every Tuesday morning.
Join us next Thursday for another great review from our team of campground correspondents who will inspire you to hit the open road and explore America the Beautiful.